I want to introduce Michael Pierce, and I don't want to take a long time doing this because I want him to have a long time to speak. But more than a decade ago, perhaps 15 years ago, I don't know, we don't know the exact date. Even Michael couldn't give me the exact date. But right here in this corner, a group from Watchmen Ontario gathered. We had worship, and we had a gathering of Ontario Watchmen right here in this building. And something shifted in many of our hearts, and all actually right across the globe. There was this move towards an understanding, which was like a revelation from the heart of God about a family, about a family that God was bringing together across the globe. And I was impacted powerfully by that meeting. And so on Thursday, this past Thursday, Val never likes when I do this, but I always love to do it, celebrate anniversaries. So last Thursday, I celebrated my 7th anniversary of my heart attack. And when I had my heart attack 7 years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart very clearly. I heard him say that there was unfinished business. But I heard not only the words, but I heard the tone. It was such a beautiful tone in the Father's voice, in the Father's heart. And it was that I needed to be about the Father's business, which is the business of family. The business of family. Michael, come and just unload everything that God's brought to give to us. We love you and Anne. You've been ministering here for many, many years. Dear friends, the son of Ken and Lois, yes. In the Lord and just in relationships. So God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Run.
I have a feeling that he said I've been here a lot of times and for a lot of years. Another way to say that is you're old. But we are the same. Yeah, we would never say that. It's good to be here. How's everybody? I felt that as we were worshiping, I've been carrying this word in my heart, and I just feel like there is a veil to step through, a barrier that is very thin, and it's very, very almost transparent. And so you think you're actually in something that you're not quite into yet. And I believe the Father is saying, I want you face to face. Just not in my presence, but face to face. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And is it okay if I, does it matter how far I walk? Okay. So I'm one of those guys, if you don't know me, I'm Michael. I'm your friend. But I like to have you activate your own spirit to receive that which you don't know I'm going to give you or what the Lord is going to download. How many are a little bit concerned about opening yourself up to something you don't know yet? Not a single hand. Oh, that was close. But okay, so Father, right across the room, and for everyone that's on screen online, I'm asking that as they lift their hands to you, Holy Spirit, lift the veil. Lift the veil of limitation. Lift the veil of fear of being foolish. Lift the veil that would say, I don't know what's on the other side, so I'll stay here. I'll stay on this side of the Jordan, and I won't cross over. Father, from one side of the room to the other, from the back to the front, release your spirit. Release your spirit in us. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to look to the neighbor on one side of you, put your hand on their shoulder, and just say, Father, do what you want. Do what you want. Do more than we want. Do more than we want. Make us willing in the day of your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow, it is so good to be back here. You know, Mama Lois and Papa Ken have been Papa and Mama to Ann and I for over 25 years. And we were young then. And but I want to highlight something, and I'm going to highlight it through the Hall family lineage, because I believe that it gives you a very practical understanding that God has something. You know, some of you might not know, but Papa Ken, I call him Papa. Some of you might call him Pastor. Others might call him Bishop. Or you might call him Ken. Was a Baptist pastor. Very, very strong Baptist pastor. And very, very word-focused and based. And very, very single-minded. And the Lord came to him and to Lois and flipped the world upside down. Absolutely transformed them. It wasn't because they didn't love Jesus enough before that. It wasn't because they weren't serving him enough before that, but there was something he was doing that was yet to happen that they needed to start doing something before everyone else around them. Call that a forerunner. And so now we celebrate the forerunner that has been, because that forerunner is still with us, and that forerunner was successful in doing what the Lord wanted. But I want to suggest to you that yesterday's forerunner is today's tradition. And that there is something for today that has not yet been revealed or understood by our personal mind. And we tried to keep it captive in a cage so that it's not out of control. But there is something coming, and it is waiting for those that will step into the heritage, the legacy, the foreordained purpose of God that goes beyond anything we have known. Now, I got off the plane last night, I think about 9:20, and Chuck was there. Like, I walked out of the building, he said, pillar 11, and I looked, and I'm at a pillar 11, and he's there. Like, I literally walked out of the door, and you were there. The door was open, the trunk was open, we were in the car, and we were on our way. And usually, you sort of wait for the person that's going to pick you up, because they're sitting in the cell parking lot. But I had texted him to say, we just landed. So there was a cooperation of communication. And there is going to be a cooperation of communication. But here's the deal. I believe that the cooperation of communication that is going to take place is going to be requiring you to learn a new language. How many love the language you know now and just want to stay there? When Ann and I moved to Calgary 6 years ago, 6 years and 5 days ago, we moved to Calgary. For those of you that have known us a long time, it's hard to believe that 6 years has gone by. But the Lord started to speak to me, and he said, Michael, I want you to learn Gen Z language. And I said, no, I don't want to. I want them to learn my language. By the way, we have better language because we've been using it longer than they have been using their language, and their language doesn't make sense to me. And then he said, Michael, if I called you to Thailand, you would learn the Thai language and the Thai culture. And I realized I had no legs to stand on to defend my not wanting to learn Gen Z language. Just let that sink in. Because it is how we posture ourselves regarding experiencing something new that actually unlocks or binds how far we will go with what the Father has. And I'm going to try and unpack about 42 scriptures. Some of them I'll just, that was a joke. Maybe you do all 42. I'm not going to do, I am more of a storyteller than I am a theologian. However, I believe the Lord is giving a revelation of understanding for you today. So go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. I am going to read from the absolutely fantastic Passion Translation. Two of the younger people over here gave me the nod, so I'm okay. There is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's a wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is His secret plan, destined before the ages to bring us into glory. None of the rulers of this present world order understood it, for if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of shining glory. This is why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things that God has in store for all His lovers. So when I prayed that there would be more, I guess I was sort of praying Bible. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Now you're going to look to the person to your left or to your right, and you're going to declare to them that they will have revelation and unveiled understanding of what the Spirit is saying. Go ahead. Yes, He has revealed to us His inmost word, His inmost mission, His inmost heart. And I believe that when we understand that we are stepping into the heart, we will shift from doing to being. We will shift from trying to resting in. We will shift from how are we ever going to do it to watching Him do it in us. It is this shift that is so cataclysmic in nature that if we don't pivot, we will miss. Is that okay? Quiet group. Okay, how many would rather just, you know, give a thumbs up or a head nod? If you, you know, I come from that background, so do you, right? The United Church or the more traditional mainline churches, you were quiet and respectful in church, so you just nod your head if you're in agreement. But if you come from the charismatic Pentecostal world, and you have found that you have a voice and you want to agree with what I'm saying, you can say, See, look at that. They knew right on cue. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So what Paul is saying is, you actually know yourself by the Spirit. You know what's inside of you. You know the things that are holding you back. You know the parts of your heart that have not yet said, yes, Father, I am willing. But there are other parts of your heart that you actually put in front of that part so that it can't come into the unveiling of God's purpose, to the unveiling of his heart. You are left questioning, does God truly love me? Would he dare make me go through something difficult for something that I couldn't understand otherwise? And can I actually trust him? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit. Now, how many here have the teaching gift? How many here function just with, you know, the left side? Right? The left side is the function side. It's the logic side. It's the side that's calculating and understand everything by the calculation of what they know so far. How many are like that? Okay, most of you aren't putting up your hand. How many of you can just say to me, I will give whatever God tells me to give and I won't look at my bank account? Do you think God doesn't know what's in your bank? Do you think God would take more from your bank than is there? No, you're just afraid that he would take more than you want him to take, or more than you've calculated he should take. But what if he to give you more than you could have ever imagined? By the fact that you would step into a place that you've never been. You see, what Paul is driving at is there is something more for us to experience. We did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. And we articulate these realities with words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with the words taught by human wisdom. We join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. Just put out your arm if you dare to trust. Father, I will receive Spirit-revealed words so that I can have Spirit-revealed understanding. As a son, as a daughter, I receive your revealed word by your Spirit in Jesus' name. You see, I am longing for us to learn a language that is not generational based, but is spirit based. So that each of us, wherever we are in our journey of years on the earth, will not say, I cannot communicate with you because I don't know your language. Could I suggest that we would step beyond the veil of our religious experience into a revelation that the God is doing something that we cannot yet comprehend. And I am so excited. You know, it was 9:30, or I guess it was maybe 10 o'clock by the time we got home. And I'm going to give you a little secret. You know, Pastor Chuck said, we can't talk very much longer because I won't be able to get up in the morning. And then he would ask me three more questions. And I am never a one-point answer guy. And we were talking about when we came into the fullness, or the fuller fullness of the Spirit of God back in the, you know, the Jesus Revolution days. Like we were actually, that's the days. How many were, that was the days, and if you when it was, then you weren't there. But the days of the Jesus Revolution, how many were a part of that time? Take a look. Okay, put your hands way up because people around you need to see. Okay, so this is the late 60s, early 70s. This is when the Holy Spirit just started to break out, and people who had been in the rock and roll scene and in all the wildlife started to find Jesus and were radically saved. And this little church called Calvary Church down in Southern California started baptizing people in the ocean. How many have seen the movie? Okay, so more have seen the movie than were there originally. But you're going to go to the lake for baptisms, right? River. Okay, to the river. That was what I, is it like the big river? The okay. Wow. Okay, so when you go down, you're going to go down. So God is wanting to do something again that is revolutionary in our culture. Now, those of you that weren't around won't remember that there were other things going on in culture when the Jesus Revolution broke out that were making it feel like North America, the world was going to hell in a handbasket. There was a war. There was the drug and sex scene. There was these protests that were rising up on universities. And things seemed absolutely so tense. The black and white situation. You see, we think that we have stepped into the worst of days today because of the situations that we face. But in fact, we just have not learned from where we were, and we continued back into a cycle that brought us back. But if we as the people of God will turn out of the cycle and start to actually know how to communicate the purposes of the Lord, the Father's heart, and not a bunch of religious rules of do's and don'ts, but we will start to reflect His grace and love, we will start to see something happen that is going to be explosive. I am so excited that you're doing this baptism at the river. I am so excited that tomorrow night there's a bunch of young people that are getting together, but I think, how many want to be young? Show up. We're going to talk about what is it to walk in these days in the Spirit of the Lord. We're going to explore, and we're going to just say, Father, how do we cross into your heart? And dare I say, it's not going to be a bunch of PowerPoint. It's going to be learning how to relate with one another. Something that I've always loved about the setup here at West Ottawa, you've got chairs so that those that feel they want to watch the back of somebody else's head, they can do that. And those of you that want to sit at a table so you have a place for your coffee can do that. One of the last times I was here, I talked to you about the left brain and right brain response. How many remember that? Okay. Three. So when we mix an experience with left brain and right brain response, it drops from knowledge or just emotion, it drops into the heart. And when it drops into the heart, that is the moment that transformation begins, because it's no longer just repeated information. It is now experienced information that is transformative in your life. And the reason I am so passionate about this is because when I experience God, it doesn't matter what you tell me to say, I don't know if that's God or not. My experience has already known it. My spirit has already received it. And I am already walking in the fruit of it. How many would want more fruit? Okay, so this side seems really good on the response, right?
Amen.
You see, sometimes we think, but I'm a Canadian, and we are quiet, and we're respectful, and we're passive. We're not aggressive. We are quiet. We're reserved. Could I say hooey? I think we're a more radical group than we give ourselves credit for. We're radical in our quietness. So Paul is saying there is something that God wants to give to you and reveal to you that you have not yet known. And he says in these verses that your human wisdom or your understanding power will not be enough to get you to where you're wanting to go. God's wisdom is higher than our human wisdom. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as heaven is, the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, God is not judging you as being less. He is acknowledging the difference of where you are, where we are, and where he is. And he has already said, would you come where I am? Would you dwell with me? Would you know my heart? And so I want us to break down all of the barriers that give us permission to have a difficult time coming into an experience with God, so that we actually can just say, I trust you. I can trust you with my whole heart. Thank you. You see, there are parts of your heart that say, maybe not. I've been here before. I go through that sometimes. When my wife and I are going to lunch, to dinner, to breakfast, it really doesn't matter which meal of the day it is. I will say to her, sweetheart, do you want anything? And she'll say, no, I'm good. I'm good. And so every man knows where I'm going. Because then my food arrives at the table, to which I'm prepared to consume by myself, wholly. And all of a sudden, her fingers are, oh. And I got wise. You know, I would just tell her, I'm ordering two. Because if she ordered something and I ordered something, it didn't matter what I ordered. or what she ordered, mine was always looking better. Oh, why didn't I get what you got? So we're all laughing at that moment in our lives that all of us have experienced. And God is saying, I want you to get it all. Don't say no when your heart is longing to say yes. You might say no because I can't afford it. I don't know if we should spend $20 for each of us to have a meal. I get that. You know, at first I thought that was really nice because it saved us money, but then I was never filled because I didn't get to eat half of what I ordered. You know what I'm saying? And so I want us to recognize that when God is inviting us to order the meal, he's not concerned about how long it will take to consume. He's not concerned that it might be the most expensive item on the menu, but he is wanting you to step into something of his love, his goodness, his longing for you. And when you do that, you walk away with a satisfaction that you've never known before, because you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Because he wants you to actually follow where he would lead you, to step into experience him in a way that you have never done. So I'm going to ask a very, very important question. How many here have ever had goosebumps? You knew that was the Holy Spirit. Okay. So how many of you won't raise a hand no matter what I ask? So I told you I am not a theologian, okay? I love to have fun. There's pastors in my lineage going back to 1845. Horseback circuit riding Methodist pastor that would ride horse from Toronto to Barrie in 1845. That's pretty amazing. On the other side, it's very, very debilitating if you only think you're going to do it the way it's always been done. And you actually have to lay down some things that have been done in the past, not because they're wrong, but because you won't have capacity for everything that the Father has for now. And I didn't think I had capacity to learn Gen Z language. And so I didn't want to learn Gen Z language. And I was very humbled when Ella Hall was with her grandpa and grandma in St. John's. And I was inviting the mothers and fathers, and she showed up with her grandpa and grandma for coffee on a Monday morning after 3 crazy days of Holy Spirit activity in Newfoundland just a month ago, less than a month ago, something like a month ago. And we were sitting there, and she said, would you ever come and have time talk with the interns and the Gen Z? you didn't know that I was going to be here today and that my schedule had been set up in such a way. Papa Ken and came to the elders and said, let's have Michael come at the National Day of Prayer weekend. And somehow it ended up, I would have thought that it would have been the Sunday after, because then I would just be able to get on a jet plane and go home. And it was chosen to be today. And I thought, but the National Day of Prayer doesn't start until Thursday. What am I going to do for 3 days? You see, I didn't have revelation yet on the outpouring and the infilling of the calendar. I could have been frustrated by those days, but I just thought, well, God, you know. And so I am grateful that Grandpa and Grandma Hall asked granddaughter Ella to go with them to experience the gathering and to drive and to help them. But it wasn't one or the other, it was both and. And then as she came to that meeting with all of us old people, something happened. And somebody that I would, as much as I know you, you're a quiet person. You are not one of that's going to stand up and say, charge. But you did. And you didn't know that God had told me that I needed to learn Gen Z language. And so I'm terrified because I'm still learning Gen Z language and I don't know when I make a mistake and when I don't. For those of you that didn't hear that, I was told they will let me know. Yes. And y'all should come and join and learn with me. So I don't have to do it alone. God's wisdom is not our wisdom. Are you okay with the gaps in your life that don't seem to have your organized schedule fully in control so that he can interrupt, whether you're a business person, a retired person, or a person who travels in ministry? Are you ready to let him do that? Okay, remember, this is yes, and this is no. Or you can say, thank you. Number two, God's perspective surpasses human reasoning. Job tells us that true wisdom, from Job 28, verses 12 to 28, I'm not reading them all. True wisdom comes from God alone and cannot be attained merely by human effort. This is why we get tired of doing the same things that we do at church, trying to please God. This is why some of you have fasted and prayed. You've stood on your head. You got up at 5 in the morning to pray. You fell asleep at 5:14 a.m. And then you were frustrated because you fell asleep and you didn't pray for the hour that you committed to God. Anybody? Boy, they were all of a sudden charismatic. They were all verbal. And I remember we had an intern with us in 2006. We were having a big conference in London, Ontario, and this intern was an international student from Germany, and she got to our place, and she came from a family of 6 kids, but really didn't know how to live as family, which was an oxymoron to me. I thought, with that many people, you got to be learning how to do family. We got there, and 2 days, she was taking English. She was an English major. She was going to become an English teacher. But she, the second day she was with us, right around supper time, she was standing near the refrigerator, which is always a clue. Okay. And she said to me, I despise you. I'm a nice guy. So I said to her, that's a fairly strong English word. Do you want to use a slightly less strong word? And she said, no, I know exactly what it means. I despise you. And I'm like, okay. Whew. And so I dared to ask the question that begs an answer. Why? You know, what did I do to despise that you despise me? She said, well, I made a promise to God that I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I would read my Bible for an hour and I would pray for an hour, which brought me to 7 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock, I would have 1 hour to shower and to be ready and have my breakfast and be ready for when you said it was time to go to the office to do the work of the ministry. And I said, so how's that getting up at 5 o'clock working? She said, I'm so frustrated because I fall back to sleep when I'm reading. And she said, but I despise you because I expected that you, as a man of God, would get up with your wife at 5 o'clock in the morning to read and pray. And actually, she just said 5 o'clock. I said, well, I am up every day at five, once in the afternoon. Thank you, Graham. I said, you know, we're up with people until 11 or midnight every day. 5 o'clock in the morning, it just isn't a part of our rhythm. So I said to her, now, you have done this wonderful covenant with God to do these things. How many have ever made a promise to God? And then you go, oh, why did I do that? And I said, so how's that going? She said, it's terrible. I said, so what did you read this morning? She said, I don't remember. I said, well, how long did you read? For 15 minutes. I said, okay, so let's take another look at your covenant with God. You want his word to be alive in you. What would happen if you asked Holy Spirit first to speak to you before you began to read? Holy Spirit, your word is life. It is eternally settled as truth. You want me to know the word, and you have something for me. Speak to my heart. Reveal your word to me. Unveil the things in my mind that would hold your word back from finding a place to dwell. I said, if you read one verse and the Lord spoke to you, you couldn't replace that with 1,000 hours of reading when you don't remember a single thing that you read, because you were so busy doing that you couldn't just hear what he wanted. Now, I know that's not inductive Bible study. I understand. Inductive Bible study is very left-brained. It is very logical. We're going to go through this. We're going to understand the Greek and the Hebrew. We're going to understand the context of the time and all of those things. Was the Word of God written within time? Yes. Was it meant to be understood in the context of time only? No. Is it alive and sharper than any two-edged sword? Is it still speaking as if it was being spoken for the very first time? Yes. And so when Paul says he is stepping into the revelation of God's word, it's not just that something happened for Paul and won't happen for us. He is saying he wants it for every one of us. And I am bringing you these scriptures around this thought so that you understand what are the hooks that keep you from stepping into the fullness of it. Is that okay? James 3, 13 to 18, summarized. James is contrasting earthly wisdom with the wisdom from above, which is pure, peaceable, and full of mercy. You see, sometimes we get so full of the word, we know all of the do's and the don'ts of the word, but we don't know the mercy of the word. We don't know the intimacy of the word. And therefore, we don't step into the transformation of the Spirit. Number three, the mystery of God's plan is revealed in Christ. Ephesians 3, how many love Ephesians 3? See, this is where the mystery of the hidden ages is revealed through Christ. This revelation isn't limited to the Apostle Paul. He did not receive all of the revelation of the Word. If he had, then we would never have had the verse in Isaiah 48. I'm going to read it to you. It's not on a slide. Isaiah 48. You have heard, now see all this, and will you not declare it? From this time forth, I will announce to you new things. Say to your friend, new things. Hidden things that you have not known. Wait for it. Verse 7, Isaiah 48. They are created now, not long ago. I'll read it again. They are created now, not long ago. So Paul didn't have revelation of those things because they hadn't even been created. And what does Isaiah say? Before today, you have never heard of them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. You see, the word is already telling you there are things that are still being created now, because it is now in the Kairos time of the Father that they are created so that they are ready to be experienced by you and I for this time. Whether we are boomers, whether we are Gen Z or Gen Alpha. Did I get that right? How Gen Alpha are younger than Gen Z. And I always thought Gen Z was like, right? Yeah, anyway. The millennials, then the Gen X. All of these gens. So my question is, will you let the Lord unveil your eyes to see the revelation by the Spirit for your legacy? You see, Canon Lois Hall stepped into a revelation. But if Canon Lois's children and grandchildren say, well, we're just going to live on Grandpa and Grandma's revelation, what will be missed? Heaven only knows. And it's as wonderful as it is that in my family line, there was a Methodist preacher, 1845, that traveled by horseback 60 miles in the winter to preach the gospel. That is not enough for me to walk in the fullness of what the Father has today. And so I am slowly, with fun, trying to remove every prop that would try and hold you secure to the place you have been so that you don't enter into the place that God has called you. There is a reason that I joke around. It's because it doesn't hurt so much when I hit you with the hammer. The mystery of God's plan is revealed in Christ. Colossians 1, this is so powerful. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now is being revealed, unfolded, manifested for every holy believer to experience. Well, every holy believer except you, right? Because God doesn't think you can handle it. God doesn't really trust you to give you his revelation. When he says to every holy believer, does that mean what it says? Thank you, Graham. I saw that hand. I know he had a twitch, but I'm taking it as a vote. My question, is this a rhema word for your heart today? It is not just logos. It is not just something written on a page. It is a rhema. It is the word of God to your heart today. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now it's being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of the glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. Romans 16, 25 to 27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you. Okay, how many need strength? You know, I realized about 4 years ago, the Lord gave me the anointing of weakness. And I don't like that. Because in weakness, I'm not strong. But God, in his wisdom, says, when you are weak, I am strong. So don't worry about being so strong. Don't worry about having every answer. Don't worry about being perfect in your own eyes or acceptable in the way that you are. Yes, strive for all that God would have. Make mistakes in doing that striving, because you will actually step into greater grace and greater love of the Father in the midst of making mistakes, instead of just standing around saying, oh, look at that, Michael made all the mistakes. I've been making mistakes in the ministry for 50 years. I know, I don't look a day over. Please give yourself permission. Just put your hand on your heart for a moment. And just, will you trust me just to repeat what I pray? Jesus, I'm letting you touch the guardians of my own heart, so that I could actually step into the fullness of your revealed word by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. As I started to read that, a thought came to my mind, and I thought, I'm going to say it. Some of us have always been waiting for a prophet to come along to give a word so that we would know what God wanted to do. And we've missed the boat of the Father, because he is longing to speak to you. There was four. Revival. So here's the thing. When a prophet comes to you and gives you a word, that's a wonderful thing. We do not diminish that. God does that. But if you are only waiting for a prophet to come along and give you a word that's going to change everything in your life and make it rosy, then you have missed the purpose of hearing the Father's voice. Amen. I just like you. I'm not visiting, I'm family. So, my question to you is, are we ready to step into it? You see, the Holy Spirit in John 14, 26 says, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit will teach believers all things. All things. All things. Even the things that you don't yet know. Jesus has promised that the Holy Spirit will teach you. That's why Jesus left. He said, I leave the Holy Spirit with you. That he will lead you and guide you into? Right. The Spirit guides believers into all truth and glorifies Christ. The Spirit confirms believers' relationship with? Yes. We are those who believe in the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. Each has a function. And they don't function the same, but they are all in a line with one another. Jesus said in John 5:19, I can do nothing except what I see and hear the Father do. So we say, but that was Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God. So are you a son or a daughter of God? I know, we get caught up theologically. Well, Jesus was the son, and I am a son. Do you have an inheritance with Jesus? Yes, you are a joint heir with him. If you are a joint heir, you are jointly responsible to hear the Father's voice and then to know what to do with what he is saying to you. And so this is now a moment of maturity and discipleship in the kingdom to step into something that you have never known before. I don't know what time it is. Did I go too long?
Keep going.
Wow. That's the first thing you've said all morning, and I'm taking it. Spiritual understanding requires God's illumination, God's light. He supernaturally unlocked the understanding of the disciples to receive the revelation of the scripture. I want to pray for you from Ephesians chapter 1. I believe that the Lord is going to do something, and I've covered a lot of scripture. I wanted to really talk about now the purpose of covering all of the scripture is so that you step into legacy. You step into legacy. You find the Father's legacy. And you begin to walk in it. It doesn't matter if you're a university professor, if you're one of the people that's working on Parliament Hill, whether you're a school teacher, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a mom at home. It isn't for someone else. The dividing between the sacred and the secular, the dividing between the pulpit and the laity are all religious thought to bring control. And sometimes it was used to bring order. But I want you to know that every one of you is called. If you have responded to the voice of the Lord Jesus to say, you are my Lord, you are called. Amen. Your calling doesn't have to look like anyone else in the room. In fact, it shouldn't. Because you should find out who you are, the identity for why you were created, and start to walk out the fullness of that by the revelation of the Spirit of God. Stand with me, because I'll just keep preaching. Paul in Ephesians 1 prays, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation to know Him through your deepening intimacy with Him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of His calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that He finds in us, His holy ones. And so, Father, we agree with Paul's declaration prayer that there will be revelation of your word within our spirit. We say, Spirit of Michael, Spirit, just say your own name, Spirit of Awaken. Awaken to the voice of your Father. Awaken to hear the still small voice of the Lord saying to you, this is my way. This is what I have for you. And where you feel that you are timid, I want to see timidity dislodged and confidence set in place. Confidence in the fact that your Father is faithful. Confidence that the fact that the Lord Himself will guard over you so you don't have to guard over yourself. Let Him be your guard. Let Him be your all in all. Father, in Jesus' name, release the revelation of who we are in you to each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.